wanted to just review for a moment about some of the things that I'd talked about this morning before we go into sort of some new material here. And I guess my main premise this morning, if you weren't here, there are some that weren't, was that the devil has been working for a very long time trying to persuade mankind that he is related to the animal world and unrelated to God. And so through a long series of attempts at combining animal parts with mankind parts through idol worship of the Old Testament, and now into the modern age with the theory of evolution, what we have is an attempt to identify mankind when he sees himself, or when he sees an ape or gorilla, an illustration such as this that I know you've seen before, of a transition from monkey to man, is something that I studied in school in biology way back years ago. And even then, I did not believe it, even though my own father believed it and taught us children, basically, back in those days, the original series of Cosmos, which some of you will remember by Carl Sagan, was on, and my dad just ate those programs up. He loved them. And so he felt that us children needed to know this kind of material. Such books as this, National Geographic has been one of the largest, biggest, most well-known proponents of the religion of evolution. It's a religion. It's a pagan religion. It's no better than Hinduism or Buddhism or or the worship of Dagon or the worship of Thoth or the worship of Hanuman and various other gods of the ancient world that have animal parts on human bodies. And so books like this one here, The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins, this is one of the most popular books ever written. And there's a this came out in 2006. I was going to read you one little, selected as the best book of the year is what it says right here. This was a little bit later printing of it. Well, I could read you more, but anyway, this is a very well-known book read by a lot of the world's people. And it is extremely, from the evolutionist or atheist or agnostic's point of view, they see it as almost like the Bible of the atheist. So I've begun reading this book. I haven't read it all, but I'm familiar with the material in it from the speeches that I've heard of Richard Dawkins over years now. But I was talking about when we left this morning, this is kind of a little bit of a series from this morning, and what I was talking about was that the evolutionary theory makes a lot out of similarities between apes and men. And the reason that I stopped with, I believe, or close to it, was kind of giving you an assessment of why it is that from a structural standpoint, there's a lot of similarities between men and apes. And it is the same reason that all cars are basically the same structure. They all have four wheels, a steering wheel, a gas pedal, a brake pedal, headlights, taillights. Why? Because those are optimum designs for carrying people from point A to point B. And so there are optimum designs. You know, there's if you have a bicep so that you can move your arm this way, and triceps so you can move your arm down that way. So animals, some animals, like the primate category of animals, are designed in a certain way to live on Earth, because we all breathe the same air, we all eat the same basic foods, we all reproduce in the same basic ways. So you can see that the point that the evolutionists are trying to make, that we are the same. And the list that I mentioned this morning is a list that I never really hear very much about. From evolutionists, all you hear is about structural similarities, and that is supposed to persuade us that we are part of the animal kingdom, and that we have no, there's no real separation between apes and men. And so I made a list that's my list, and perhaps you would make a list that's another, you know, that's slightly different, but I'm sure would have similar things in it. But I wanted to make one other note, because you will hear this from time to time. And this is supposed to be the most convincing evidence that monkeys and men have a relative ancestor that is genetically so similar to us that there isn't any question about our heredity. And that is that you will hear from time to time that we share 98 to 99% of the genetic code in our DNA with apes or with chimpanzees. Well, the short story about that is that you have to do some fuzzy math, some gymnastics with math in order to come up with that high a number. The truth of it is that about 18, that you have to throw away about 18% of ape DNA that is completely different than humans, and about 25% of human DNA that is completely different from apes. So when you combine those things together, the percentage-wise comes down to about 54%. And then, of course, they tell us sometimes that bananas, we share 50% of genetic coding with bananas. So the things that that seem to be have some kind of persuasive quality to them are often not what they seem to be. So I would recommend, by the way, those statistics I just gave you are from evolutionary websites, not creationist websites. So I think if you're looking at the enemy and citing their statistics, then you're probably pretty safe in assuming that those things are fairly accurate. So what I'm going to do here, this is going to go pretty fast, because I wrote down 75 here, I don't know, several months ago. I just started a list, and I wrote this list fairly nonstop. Until I got to 75 points, and then I just stopped. And if you were to make a list like that, you would probably do the same thing. You would just think about what are not structural differences, but what are other differences that are almost never considered, rarely considered, that make human beings vastly and irreconcilably different than the whole animal kingdom. What we're doing here tonight is one of the many things, and that is that we are coming together to communicate and talk about our Creator. Animals do not do that. Chimpanzees don't do that. Baboons don't do that. Apes don't do that. Orangutans don't do that. These are the bonobos do not do that. So here's my list, and perhaps hers would be a little bit different, but I'll try to keep my comments about, it would be easy to elaborate on different ones of these points, but I'm going to try to just kind of go through with few comments about it. Number one, and these are in no particular order. This is just the way that I thought of them and wrote them down, and I haven't changed the list since I wrote it down. So number one was desire to seek knowledge and education. Number two, languages, diverse, complex, and rich. Now, we could say that birds have a language or whales have a language, but they're not diverse as like ours is, and they don't communicate in the same way that obviously that we do. We have a superior intelligence that is vastly different than the animal kingdom, and I think that that is self-evident. A sense of conscience. We know when we've done something wrong and we feel bad about it. That's a sense of conscience. Animals don't have a sense of conscience. Appeal to moral standards of right and wrong, such as the Ten Commandments or the various other laws. Number six is knowledge and development of law. And we see this in the ancient world, you know, like the Code of Hammurabi or Egyptian codes. Human beings create civilizations and group together and they make laws. That's something that animals do not do. Number seven is desire to improve oneself, his environment, his status in life. You don't see animals trying to improve themselves. You might see them building a nest, you know, in order to lay their, but it always relates to either food or mating or instincts of various kinds. Number eight is appeal to order and a response to disorder. Anybody ever come into a messy room, for example, and you just want to start picking up stuff and putting it back in its place? That is an appeal to order. We want things to be ordered, and that's unique to humans. An appreciation and appeal to beauty, art, music, poetry, aesthetics, generally. You know, a cow, you know, may be in the field and see the most beautiful sunset that's ever been beheld by anyone, but he's completely unmoved by it. He just stands out there chewing his cud. He has no appreciation. And Ken made a point when we had the work day out here that I'll relate to you briefly. We were talking about some of these things over there, clipping the hedges along over here and trying to shape them back up. But we were talking about some of these things, and one of the points that he made was that if humans weren't here, who would be here to appreciate the earth? Would chickens appreciate it? You know, what would? Slugs? Nothing. There's nothing here that will appreciate the earth and all the diversity and colors and the brilliance of the design on earth. We are the only ones that appreciate the creation of God. We are it. No other animals do. That's a big one for me. I mean, that's huge. Number 10 is desire to construct governmental systems. We could talk about that a long time. Desire and need to worship something. And of course, we've seen that throughout the history of man. Number 12 is remorse and regret for wrongdoing. That kind of relates to a sense of conscience. Number 13 is desire to change. Animals don't desire to change. I know those of us who have either a wife or a daughter are always recognize the fact that there's constant change going on. You know, I can't tell you the numbers of times that Sadie has changed her hairdo, you know, over a period of her growth. There's always this desire to change, changing things. Animals don't do that. Number 14 is desire and need to love and be loved. Do you know any animals that want to be loved? Well, they may want to be nourished when they are young, but it's obviously there's a difference between animal affection and human affection. Number 15 is need to ask questions and find satisfying answers. We come into this world with questions, and we're not satisfied until we get reasonable, logical, intelligent. I mean, most people are this way. I feel badly for people who don't ever ask any questions and just accept everything as it is. I'm afraid there are people that are that way, and perhaps whole countries that are that way. I wonder sometimes, if you lived in India, would you be a Hindu? In other words, there's a certain acceptance of the whatever your tradition is that is kind of disturbing. If you were born in Arabia, if you were born in Saudi Arabia, would you be a Muslim? I would hope not. I would hope that you would be asking enough questions about, do I really want to follow this religion? But my main point here is the need to ask questions and have those questions answered reasonably. And that relates to our intellect, of course, as well. Number 16 is desire to heal and to be healed. We've got some folks here that are in the healing arts. And that's something that is unique to, you know, we used to have chickens back years ago. And, you know, if a chicken, we had one chicken when I was a boy that had some problem with his neck. And we had to tape his neck up in order to keep the other chickens from pecking it to death. Not a pretty sight. We had to take medical tape and wrap it up. They were going to kill the chicken that had a wound. They weren't going to heal it. They were going to kill it. Desire to extend lives, number 17. Animals may have a sense of escape, you know, fight or flight, you know, when they're in danger. But we have an extraordinary sense of extending life. Number 18, desire for paradise, pursuit of happiness, ideals in life. Don't we all pursue that? And ideals in various ways. We want an ideal life in many ways. And of course, animals don't have that desire. The desire to live forever relates to some of the statements made in Ecclesiastes. That we want to live forever. We're not satisfied dying. Animals are satisfied dying. We're not. We are not satisfied with the fact that we're going to die. We want to do something about it. And there is something we can do about it because of the Lord's provisions for us. Number 20 is the sense of modesty, wearing of clothes. Do you know any animals that wear clothes? No, unless humans put clothes on animals. Sometimes they do put, you know, sweaters on dogs and, you know, things like that. It's kind of silly, but they have their own, they're born with their own clothing. Humans are different. We wear clothing. We have a sense of modesty that animals do not have. Number 21 is prone to marvel at things. I mentioned the cow, you know, standing in the field, seeing a beautiful sunset. We, you know, if you go, maybe you go to Grand Canyon or something, and humans are prone to marvel at things. So that's just another. Appeal to justice and equality. Number 23, tendency to invention, ingenuity, mechanical devices, and new ideas. Animals do none of those things. 24 is tendency to adventure and discover, trying new things. Humans are very adventurous, and we like trying new things. Number 25 is desire to decorate, beautify, coordinate beyond function. Couldn't we all live in a drab cat? Well, yeah, theoretically, couldn't we all live in almost a tent, which of course humans have lived in tents, But even if you look at the American Indians, Native Americans, and you'll see these teepees. And the teepees, you can see in the artwork of the early artists that came over even before photography and made sketches of these teepees, the teepees had artwork on the outside and inside of them. So it's not unique to a culture. It's unique to humans. Beaded moccasins, beaded work down, you know, and that, I'm not saying that they were primitive in that, but they were still artistic, no matter what their level of civilization was. Number 26, desire for peaceful relationships between individuals and groups and nations. We desire peace. Number 27, desire to record history, both individual, family, national, world, even universal. We have a desire to record history. Do you know any animals? Do chickens record history? Do monkeys record history? No. It is completely different from what mankind does and what animals do. Number 28 is jealousy and envy in comparison to others. Now, as Christians, we're not really supposed to be envious or jealous of other people. But in the wider world out here, we all know that that's a part of human characteristics. Number 29 is the ability to be embarrassed and uncomfortable in social settings, to be shy or to blush. Those are things that are unique to humans. Desire for security. Desire for understanding and wisdom. Desire for self-expression. That goes back to art, you know, and various other kinds of writing, poetry, music, all of those things. Desire for self-expression. Number 33 is desire to assemble in groups of common interest. A lot of that kind of thing could be cited. This is one of those, of course. We're all here in a group because we're all interested in the same thing. Number 34 is tendency to elaborate and add on endless books on the same subject. There are endless books on the same subjects that have been a part of human knowledge from thousands of years ago, and we're still creating books about the same subjects. Number 35, tendency to employ figurative language concepts to broaden meaning and parallel or contrast ideas. Of course, that's a very sophisticated thing that humans do, is parallel, use metaphors and allegories of how we communicate. Animals have no concept of conceptual language, figurative language, allegorical figures like the Statue of Liberty. What does this Statue of Liberty mean to an ape? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything. But to us, it means something. It means this is a figure that is an artistic presentation that embodies the idea of freedom. We know what the Statue of Liberty is. We know, have you ever seen in a courthouse the figure of justice? It's usually a woman who's holding a scales and has a sword too. It relates to the balance, the justice being theoretically, you know, exacted in this courthouse. I'm not sure it happens as much as it used to, but that's a allegorical figure. Animals have no concept of such things. Number 36 is long-lasting attention and love for children. Again, most of the, if not all of the animal world, raise their children and they're out of there, and they, in most cases, don't even know where they go. There's the instinct to reproduce, but there's no long-lasting attention and love for children. Number 37, desire for long-lasting relationships, which is similar, marriage and family. Number 38, development and adherence to strong opinions and positions. Don't you have strong opinions and positions about many things in life? I imagine you do. I do. And that's something, again, that is unique to humans. 39 is desire to build and construct and design and make things. Number 40 is tendency to discern in refined ways the quality and desirability of a thing, a food, a vehicle, a home, anything that we go to purchase. We have a discretionary attention to the quality, whether the quality of that thing is desirable for us to purchase or not. 41 is endless fascination and admiration of with people, their cultures, talents, and appearance, and other exceptional qualities. You know, when I'd rarely go shopping at a grocery store or something like that, Gina does almost all of that. But when I do, I see all these magazines, you know, in the aisles when you're about to check out. What are all these magazines about? They're about people. They're about movie stars or actresses or sports stars. There is an endless fascination that humans have with humans. And of course, that's very different from the animal world. 42 is tendency to be obsessive, eccentric, different, easily addicted, sad, depressed. These are things that are unique to humans. We are obsessive about things. Anybody collect things in here? I collect things. I hope I'm not an obsessive collector of things, but there are some things that I collect. And that's an interesting phenomenon, you know, that people do such things. Number 43 is ability and tendency to learn new and different things throughout one's lifetime. If you ever come to the place, no matter what age you are, and you've kind of stopped learning about it, that's not good. Because most people, if you want to remain vibrant and stimulated and have your mind continue to work, you need to continue to learn new things. And most people naturally do want to learn new and different things. Number 44 is exceptional reasoning and logical thinking far outside of instinctual abilities. 45 is ability to be persuaded and convinced of things that are not supported by real evidence. That's a big one. That's what I've been talking about today. Evolution is not supported by any evidence, but yet millions and millions of people believe it. Number 46 is exceptional courtship and marriage behavior that relates to emotional and communicational bonding. That, again, is unique among humans. 47, competitive nature that is unrelated to mating or food. We have a natural competitive nature. 48 is attention and recognition of minute details of life. I have that. I assume other, it's like some of these things I'm just assuming that other people have that I have. I hope that you recognize the qualities of a butterfly, that the symmetry and the beauty of it. I hope that you do. I do. So anyway, the attention and recognition of details. And it doesn't have to necessarily be, God-created things. It can be even man-made things. Ability number 50, ability to perceive and comprehend complex patterns. 51, tendency to long-term loyalties beyond spouse and children. Number 52, tendency to farm both plants and animals for use in various needs of life. In other words, we're not typically, at least anymore, hunter-gatherers, if we were ever that. I guess in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were hunters and they were gatherers, hunted berries and such. But since the fall, I'm not sure that that's the case. We have tilled in the ground to farm in both plants and animals. Number 53, the creation of tools and equipment that make life easier. And, of course, the evolutionists would cite certain animals, like the otters, that use a rock or something to open a clam. Well, they didn't make that tool. They have the instinct to find that tool and use it to break open the clam. But they didn't make the tool. They're using something that already exists. Number 54, pursuit of larger and better weapons of offensive and defensive properties. Humans have made bigger and better weapons since the beginning of time. You see it from the earliest to now. Bigger and better weaponry. And there seems to be no end to it. Pursuit of larger and bigger weapons. Number 55, tendency to project undeserved biases, prejudices on others who are outside of their particular culture or geography. Other things to be said about that. But 56 is tendency to classify or file like things. Number 57, ability to perceive and create things that are funny. Ability to laugh. We don't find that in the animal world at all. Number 58, the ability to be so emotionally moved by an event or story as to be overcome with tears, regardless of whether the story is true. And I bet everyone in here has been to a movie or seen a movie at one time or another that brought you either to tears or close to tears. And the movie was not true. It's not a real thing that actually happened. See, we are capable of engaging in a drama so intensely and so thoroughly that our emotional state gets caught up in whatever is happening and we get emotionally involved with it, whether or not it's true. Animals don't do this. Number 59, ability to make free will choices that may cause harm or death for a perceived cause greater than themselves or for no cause warranting the risk involved. I'll not go into, elaboration on that one. 60, the ability and tendency to have dominion over all other animals and to project his desires and uses on the rest of the material world. We do that as human beings. We project our desires and uses of the material world every single day. We make it work for us. And the animal world does not do that, does not have that sense of dominion over the rest of the world. Number 61 is the ability and tendency to accumulate and build on previous knowledge from previous generations. Think about that. Does any animal build on previous knowledge from their mothers or fathers and then build on that? No, they do not. Animals have always been the same ever since creation. Number 62, extraordinary facial expressions and posture that reveal inner emotional states and feelings. Number 63, the use of fire and other physical laws and resources to our advantage. Got lights going on, for example, in here. A microphone. We're using physics for our benefit and advantage. Number 64 is keeping and providing for pets. Number 65, tendency to develop long-term and short-term plans and goals. We tend to do that. Number 66, tendency to model behaviors and practices from others close by rather than in instinctual behavior, bad or good. Number 67, a spiritual nature, no matter what the religious affiliation. We have a spiritual nature. Number 68, tendency to be attracted to people who are born with exceptional beauty and admirable proportions and to know what they think. And this kind of goes back to, there's been a lot of kind of funny things that people have invented or dramas that relate to asking actresses or actors what they think about certain things, political or otherwise, as though they know something about it. And more often than not, they know less than you do, and their opinion is irrelevant and often not well informed. But we're still, you know, attracted to their opinion because perhaps they're beautiful in some way. 69 is tendency to collect things of like quality. It's kind of similar to what I mentioned before. Number 70, awareness of counting of time, creating clocks and ordering our lives around them, scheduling, anniversaries, holidays, memorials, all of those kinds of things that are based on a watch or a clock is something that is unique to humans. Animals don't do it. They know when the sun rises and the sun sets, but that's about it. Number 71, tendency to do mathematics. You know any animals that do mathematics? No, there's none that do. Number 72, desire to fix things. Objects that are broken, people that are broken, governments that are broken. We want to fix things. That's a part of our nature. Number 73, we're getting toward the end. Cooking of foods and extraordinary lengths to improve taste, seasoning, endless recipes, and books related to food. I just bought Sadie one yesterday at the Goodwill, which is a Rachel Ray cooking book. Not that she needs one, but I mean, I'm just saying, you know, she might benefit from. Number 74 is unique masculine and feminine qualities and roles. Now, you may say, well, isn't that, you know, kind of part of the animal kingdom as well? In some ways, there's certainly a difference between males and females in the animal world. But in our world, the differences are greatly multiplied in their qualities and roles. And number 75, this is where I stopped. Tendency to observe and record the natural world resulting in various fields of study like science, biology, chemistry, geology, anatomy, physiology, etc. So that's my list of 75. And that's where I stopped writing. But these are differences between us and all the animal world, and these differences are immense and unreconcilable through any kind of theory of evolution. Evolution does not answer the question of why humans are so distinct and unique in the world. And the monkey to man evolution, or morphism, as we talked about this morning, can never account for this huge chasm. Well, let me see. I'm gonna skip all this. We are out of time. But let me just leave you with the fact that God wants us to be like Him, so that He can bring many sons and daughters into glory. He doesn't want us to act like animals or to perceive that our identity is with animals. He wants to perceive that our identity is with Him and that it is natural to be seen and identify yourself as being created after the image and likeness of God. And evolution, morphism, is not science. It's not biology. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It is a religion. I've said this many times. I'm going to leave you with one verse of Scripture here. that I come kind of keep coming back to, and this is in Isaiah 66. I read this recently in some context, but I'll read it again in this context so that you'll understand that God is in control of all of everything, and that if someone is determined not to serve God and not to recognize that he is a creation of God, then he has set forth in a sense his own delusion. You know, it reminds me of Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion. He's the one who is in a delusion. Richard Dawkins is delusional. And I hope that he recognizes the fact before he dies. He's getting quite old now. But he's the, you know, primary spokesman for atheism these days. But here's the quote that I wanted to cite before we close, and that is Isaiah 66. Just listen to this and relate it to what we've just talked about. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord. You see how that fits this context? That God, because of mankind's rebellion against him, he chooses their delusions. And this is the kind of delusion that he chooses for those who reject God. He says, I'll give you a different answer. The devil is behind this kind of thing, by the way. And this is the delusion that humans are related to animals. We are not related to animals. We're related to God. So that's our lesson for this evening. Thank you for your patience. If there's anything that I or anyone can do to help you come closer to God, then we are ready and willing to help while together we stand and sing.